So we've been talking about this entire year, returning to our roots and kind of associating that with the early church and the book of Acts. And one of the things that I really feel like it's important, and we're going to talk about these next few Sundays, is the foundation, Acts chapter 2, verse 47 in New Living Translation says it this way: all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, each day of the people who were being saved, they were establishing the word of God, and the apostles' teaching was the foundation of everything that they were about. So one of the things I want to talk to you about the next few Sundays is, as we talk about returning to our roots, as we understand the foundation of the teaching of the word of God, how center it is, how it is the center of who we are as God's people, is the word of God and establishing it in our lives. I was thinking about this yesterday. I had one of those. I spent about 5 or 6 hours yesterday, and my wife will attest to how working on the sermon for today, and I completely erased it. I was happy. Yeah. But I always just kind of attest that if it happened, then God has a plan, okay? So I felt like after that, I was going like, man, it'll take me forever to go back and redo all that. And I really felt like that I was supposed to move what I was going to teach this morning to next Sunday. But to lay a foundation today about the Word of God. You know, when we talk about the Bible, a lot of times it becomes so callous, cold, and we become very indifferent to it, instead of realizing it is the breath of God. One of the words that Paul, the Apostle Paul, used was, it is inspired, the inspired Word of God. Say that with me, the inspired Word of God. The word inspired actually means the breath of God, that God breathed it. It's the breath of God. And take in account, too, also that Jesus said that he was the Word of God, made manifest, the Word in flesh. And so when we talk about even the Trinity, one of the ways that John described the Trinity was, it was the Word, the water, you know, blood. It is the essence of the Word of God. And one of the things I realized that I personally, and a lot of you know, a couple of Sundays ago we talked about this, but I believe that we are in a tremendous transition in the body of Christ. I don't just say that lightly. I believe that it is up there with Martin Luther days and everything. And what we see is really a negative going on in the body of Christ, I believe, is God actually bringing us to a point that we have no choice but to transition. This is my personal belief, that I believe this transition is going to bring us into the greatest revival that we've ever seen in the body of Christ. I believe that with all my heart. I questioned that, as some of you know. I went through times, I'm going like, is it really? But I'm back to that place. And one of the things that I realize is that in this hour, we need to hear the Lord accurately more than maybe ever before in our lives. We need to hear not what is just the Word of God, but what is the Word of God for this hour, for this time. Now, I was reading this in Acts chapter 6 in the early church, and it says, so the Word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And this is what really marked it. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now, how have you read that before? I've read that before, but I don't know why. It just like, wow. That priests, that meaning people that were in the body of Christ, began to reach out to those that were Jewish priests in that day in the synagogues, who, how many know, they knew the Bible. At that time, it was called the Septuagint, which was all the Old Testament a lot of books like Enoch and stuff that we don't read nowadays, but it was part of the Septuagint, and it was written in Greek, but they knew the Bible. They knew the Bible they had, and what was happening is they were realizing, and there was a revelation that everything that was in the Bible was pointing to this man named Jesus. The revelation of who Jesus Christ was. And they were coming to the Lord. See, I just really sense, because I spend so much time with people on a day-to-day basis, usually about 30 families a week I get to be with. And they don't really dislike Jesus as much as we think they do, as we blame them to. They just don't like church. I know that I've been in it all my life, so. But what I find is that when you speak the word of God that is anointed, it's God-breathed, that something comes alive in the hearts of people. And what I really believe is every one of us need to hear what the Lord is saying now and to speak it, to declare it. Why? It will change the lives of people around us. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I know it's probably hard to believe this, but this is something the Lord spoke to me one day. And this is kind of bad to admit, but I can be very cynical. And this probably doesn't apply to you, but this is to my character. The Lord said, cynicism. And then what does that mean? Being cynical, seeing the negative, the bad, will be your life's perspective when you know that the Antichrist system is doing and saying. So what that meant to me when the Lord was speaking that to me is I am heavy into end time teachings. I study it. I know it. I know the book of Revelation, Zechariah, Daniel. But one of the things what the Lord was saying to me is if I look into the world, think about this. When I look in the world and I see what the Antichrist system is doing, the negative, the bad, the evil, then my perspective is going to be what the enemy is doing. There's nothing wrong with that in of itself, but if I know what the enemy's doing more than what God's doing, then there's a problem. There's a problem. And this is what God was addressing in my life. And he was saying, you know what the devil's doing. I'm putting this in hillbilly language, right? You know what the devil's doing. You study it and look at it enough, but do you know what I'm doing? And I really feel like God is wanting to speak to our lives so that he can tell us what he's doing. You know, when Jesus lived and walked on the earth for 33 and a half years, what it said is he said, I see what the Father's doing. I hear from the Father, and then I do that. And then what happened? The works of Jesus were manifest, and they were powerful, and they changed the world. And what the Lord Jesus is wanting us to do is he wants us to hear from heaven and to do that. You know, sometimes we make the word prophets or prophecy or, you know, really to get right to the nitty-gritty, it means hearing from God and saying what God's saying. Or hearing from the Lord, seeing from God, and doing that or saying that. Every one of us actually should be prophetic. This should be a prophetic people, a prophetic congregation. You should be prophetic. You say, well, I don't have the gifts of prophecy. Well, can you hear from God? Right? We all can hear from God, can't we? And when we hear from the Lord, then we speak it, we declare it. And I wrote this down. The word of the Lord becomes even more crucial before a global transition. You may think I'm just crazy, but I'm telling you with everything within me, the reason why I have changed and did a lot of the things that I'm doing in the last few years is because I believe that the body of Christ, the church, is going through a global transition. And we need to hear from the Lord. What the Lord is saying to us. This is a weird verse I wanted to just kind of lift out. Pray that the Lord your God may inform us. Say, inform us. I thought it was neat how it's declared as to how we should live and what we should do. Lord, inform us. Tell us, Lord, what we should do. how we should live. And not just live in an old wineskin, but live in what God is saying for us today. Psalms 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The word of the Lord is right and true. And so let's just talk about the importance of the word of God. And we're gonna dive into this even in a deeper way, and all the way talking about translations of the Bible and everything next week. But the word of the Lord is one of the things the Bible says is that when the word of the Lord is released, it will not return void. It means it will accomplish. When you release the word of the Lord and you do it by faith, it will accomplish what you sent it to do. Now, I know that, you know, you hear me criticize a little bit when we get, name it and claim it, grab it, blab it, whatever, you know, things. And I know things can be taken too far. But a lot of that, the reason that it's wrong is because it's for selfish gain. It's for you. But when it's the word of the Lord, when God is the one that said it and you release it, then it will accomplish what it's sent to do. I love the connotation. It's the manna that fell from heaven. It's our daily bread. How many know we need it every single day? It's like fire shut up in our bones. It's got to come out. A word that is spoken in due season, meaning that it's the timing of the Lord, that God's timing to declare that word. And I was thinking about different people in the Bible who stewarded the word of God during the time of a transition. Probably no one greater than Noah. 120 years he's preaching that the rain's going to come, there's going to be a flood, and it never had even rained before. Can you think of that? But he was stewarding the word of the Lord. He was declaring it that the flood was going to come. And guess what happened? The word of the Lord was confirmed. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, and it was that there's going to be no rain. It's not going to rain. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. And then he started praying again, and then he heard the word of the Lord that there's a cloud. It looks like the size of a man's hand. But guess what? The transition was going to happen. He spoke the word of the Lord during transition. Jeremiah and or Isaiah, he spoke that the Lord was going to deliver the city and deliver the children of Israel. And Jeremiah then came along later, and his word wasn't what everybody wanted to hear, was it? It was that you're going to go into captivity because that's what is needed right now. And then Daniel comes along later and speaks what came from Jeremiah and said, 70 years later, you're going to go back to Jerusalem, you're going to return. And it was the word of the Lord. And then the Old Testament prophets, they spoke of one that was coming, the Messiah, the one that was going to cleanse the nation of Israel from their sins, that later we understood it was for Gentiles, thank God, right? Then I was looking at in 1 Samuel chapter 2, where it talks about Eli's sons. He was the high priest. But it says something very unusual. It says at the end of chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent, meaning they didn't happen very much. So the word of the Lord was rare. But then all of a sudden, then God sends Samuel, and he becomes releasing the word of the Lord. And then Samuel, as he was anointed to have the word of the Lord, what did he do? He was used by God to raise up a young shepherd boy named David to become the king. And all the things, if you know that David was a prophet, you read the book of Psalms, and even in Acts, when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, he calls David a prophet. And the word of the Lord was with him. And then later we see, about 700 years before Jesus, that when the city of Jerusalem was surrounded, that Jeremiah was used by God to declare that they were going to be taken into captivity. Before that was Isaiah, and Isaiah said they're going to be delivered. But then Jeremiah heard the word of the Lord, and it was the opposite. It was funny because when I've studied this, there was a lot of people during Jeremiah days that were speaking the words of Isaiah, because Isaiah said, you're going to be set free. And that's what a lot of people wanted to say during Jeremiah's day, but that wasn't the word of the Lord. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we need to hear what God is saying right now to us. What is the right now word of the Lord? Not just from yesterday, but what is God saying today? And one of the greatest leaders that led into the coming of Jesus was a man named John the Baptist. John the Baptist was, as you know, a cousin, if you would, of Jesus. Elizabeth had come to a place in her life that she was unable to have children, but then the angel came and said, you're going to have a child. Zechariah was a priest, the dad of John the Baptist. And the word of the Lord to Zechariah was, you're going to be, well, let's put it in hillbilly language, you're going to be a daddy. And he says, he laughs, and the angel says, you're not even going to be able to talk now until the baby is born. And, you know, it's so amazing. He was silent. Let's just say 9 months. He was silent for 9 months. And when the baby was born, he prophesied. Wow. 9 months of silence. And then when the baby, John, was born, he prophesied. And then John the Baptist went out into the wilderness and he declared the word of the Lord. I believe this is so crucial because John the Baptist was a forerunner. He was one that preceded and ushered in the coming of the Messiah, of Jesus. You remember when John was baptizing in the Jordan, Jesus is walking on the bank, and John the Baptist says, like, he's saying this, not like he's thinking it or anything. It's like the word of the Lord came to him. This is what you've got to get. The word of the Lord came to him, and he's declaring prophetically. He goes, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's prophesying that. And for a long time, we don't know how long exactly, but John the Baptist is out in the wilderness. There is a group or a sect of Judaism that were called the Essenes that were very prophetic. Some of you may have never heard of them before, but a couple hundred years before Jesus was born, during those 400 years of silence, there began to be this group of the Essenes, and they were very prophetic. They studied, and they actually believed, this is something if you study them, they believed that the Messiah was coming. He was getting close to coming, and they were declaring it. And John the Baptist, whether he was one of them or just got affected by them, but he was out in the wilderness and affected by them. One of the things that the Essenes were the ones that actually wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. So you ever heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? They found out in the wilderness out by the Dead Sea. And the Essenes were the ones who wrote those. They were very prophetic, and a lot of people who've studied the Essenes, which I tried to study a lot about them, and that after the time of Jesus, they seemed to disappear. Where did they go? And they all became believers. They were part of the early church. And so this, isn't it amazing that early church was probably made up of a lot of the Essenes who were waiting for Jesus to come, the Messiah, and then he came. And they were declaring that Jesus was coming. They were forerunners. And I believe that same anointing that John the Baptist had, God is wanting to bring on this generation of people. It doesn't matter what our age, and that we are declaring the Messiah is coming. Just like he did the first time, he's coming again. And the word of the Lord is going to be in us. And this is kind of the description of John the Baptist. And you'll see how this really can apply to us. Jesus said there was no greater prophet than John the Baptist. You remember? He said that he came in the spirit of Elijah. It says that he was bold in his generation. He was calling for repentance. How many know we need to maybe have some repentance in our day? He was baptizing and discipling. He was declaring that Yeshua, that Jesus was coming. He was unintimidated by corrupt leaders. And isn't it funny? Because he was the priest. He's a priest's son. He was a preacher's kid. And he was talking about how corrupt it was in religion, in the religious circles. And he was willing to give his own life. I don't know if you remember this, but he lost his head. They cut off his head. And this is what it said about John the Baptist, and I really believe this is what needs to be declared over us in this generation. He said, he's the voice of one calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. See, we need to get rid of our churchy mindset. We need to become voices in this culture, in this generation, in this world. Prepare for the way of the Lord. He's coming. Make his path straight. Every ravine will be filled. Every mountain and hill will be lowered. The crooked will become straight and the rough road smooth. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. Amen? That is the call that was upon. See, you see the picture. Elijah. And then John the Baptist. And now this generation that is declaring to the world, it's not about church. It's not about some kind of institution. It's about hearing from the Lord. And what we're hearing from the Lord is that it is the hour. It is the time. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but there's this sense in my heart that we are so close and that we need to prepare the way of the Lord. I want to end with a kind of a weird verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. In light of what we were talking about, where Paul writes this. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And look what it says. Especially the gift of prophecy. Especially the gift of prophecy. What does that simply mean? It means that as God's people, that we hear from the Lord and we declare what God is saying. Lord, we come to you this morning and we ask you in Jesus' name that we would be a generation like John the Baptist that would have the word of the Lord in our mouth and we would declare it. Prepare the way of the Lord. Lord, we know that there's 9 gifts of the Spirit. But the Apostle Paul says to us in the letter that he wrote to the church in Corinth, it says to desire all the gifts, but especially that we could prophesy. Prophecy is not some kind of boisterous thing that is just done in a church service where we say, thus saith the Lord, this or that. It can be that, but it's more importantly that every one of us hear from you. God, what are you saying? What are you saying to us individually? What are you saying to us corporately? We want to hear you, God. We want to hear your voice. God, would you speak to our hearts? The word of the Lord. It's not just mere talk, but it's the demonstration of the power of the kingdom of God, that when we declare it, it changes things. When we speak your word, God, it will change circumstances in our bodies, in our mind, in our families, in our city, in our church. Lord, you've given us authority to speak your word. To release your word in this hour, in this time. Folks, I don't think we take it so much for granted. When we're driving down the road, when we see things or God speaks to our heart, we don't understand that we actually are a conduit between heaven and earth, and that we can release the power of the kingdom of God when we declare what God is saying. We'll change things around us. God, I pray for a fresh anointing to come upon every one of us in this room, that we would realize it's not for just a pastor or a preacher or somebody who's a super, what we think is a super Christian. Every one of us, God, can hear from you and we can declare what you say. And when we declare it, it will change things. Heaven will come and change things on earth. And Lord, as we begin to study over the next few Sundays about the power of the Word of God, let us fall in love with it, fresh and anew. And I just feel like God wants to do that in many of your hearts, that some of you have been Christians for so long and, you know, you've read the Bible, but God wants you to fall in love with it again, because the Word of God will change everything. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I witness that there's a special touch, anointing, a fresh anointing, a work of the Lord in this, not only in Todd, but I do sense this. We're going to be hearing from the Lord. Things are changing. Let's go ahead and just worship Him. He's here. Praise you, Lord. Just worship the Lord with me. Praise you, Lord. Open your mouth and just say, I receive your word for me. I want to draw close to you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We'll just pray in the spirit a little bit. Praise you, Jesus. We draw our hearts to you. We draw our hearts to you. We worship you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel very quickened by this message. Very like a directional word from the Lord, beginning to rest in our house. You guys know that I deeply love and value Todd and Nicole. If you can't believe it. The baton, so to speak, of the vision of the house has been passed to him. The Lord has something that I'm working on that is for the larger body of Christ. And I just want to weep at the beauty of the cherishing way that God cares for us. He is so endeared to each of us. All the years of struggle, all the years of standing, all the years of breakthroughs, all the years of... We've become chock full of the ways of the Lord. We're not stupid. We're not immature. We're not beginners. There's a veteran quality to some of our lives where we would never come up and stand and, you know, claim anything, because the people that are deeper, God moves through, they really just really more reliant on Jesus than anybody. They're not like, they don't claim it. They just walk humbly and receive His love. Please forgive me. I don't know your name and stuff, but I was sitting here and you're here by God's design. You may not know that, but anyway, I had this, I just want to tell you, you're safe. The feeling I got is that, the picture I got is that there have been crocodiles coming after you. You know that, don't you? Stuff that's just really been, sheesh, man, this is one way and then another way and another way. And the Lord's got His eyes on you, and He kept you from destruction. I'd like to get to know you. I don't know what your plans are, whatever, but you're smiling over the fact that this is, yeah, this is real. And the Lord has got you on a piece of land right now in the spirit where you're not being, not going to be bit. And let's just go ahead and thank the Lord for His protection of your life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hezekiah, you've been, there's a quality of faithfulness that you've been walking in, and the two of you have been, there's a ripeness about, there's a maturing that's happened in you. You witnessed that, don't you? You, things that used to be there, that used to really be a bummer to you, they're not anymore. And I just felt like the Lord put that witness in my spirit, affirm my son. You got a good one here, and he's got a good one there. You too have laid things before the Lord, and sensed that sense of bond together. This is wonderful. Let's just praise the Lord a little bit more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and tell Chris Inseth we're glad he's home. Come on up, honey. I just feel, you know, we can dismiss, but I just feel like we're all in a big pool treading water together.
You know. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Todd, for that. I'm excited. I know you are too. There are some of us, but especially some of the newer people. I just want to say to you, if you're newer than how old I am, you are, have only been coming, you know, a few months, but you've been coming faithfully every Sunday. And you're probably going, like, what's really happening? You just keep showing up. That's a word for you. You just keep coming. You keep coming every time the doors are open, and you don't have to do anything, and we don't have to do anything, but Jesus is going to do something for you. Holy Spirit is going to do something for you, and you're going to know that it was Him. Now, we're here to love you and welcome you and have fellowship with you and do the best that we can as neighbors and friends, but Holy Spirit wants to show you that He's with you all the time, so that when you leave here, you're confident that He's with you when you're out there. Some of us have already learned that because we've been showing up for a long time. And yeah, the church has gotten pretty crummy over the years. But this is a house that loves, and we will love you. You know, we don't have a lot of money. You know, you're not going to get rich coming here, but you're going to get loved, and you're going to meet the one who loves you and the one who will take care of you. And we will extend a helping hand when we can. And I just know that I didn't get where I am today by not showing up. Now, that's a word for some of you for other things in your life. You just need to show up. I don't know what that means to somebody. But just keep coming and watch the Lord do something really special for you.
Amen. Let's go ahead and stand together and tell somebody next to you, just show up. Father, we thank you and praise you for your loving hand upon our life. I pray, Father, for every person here struggling with physical ailments, the Holy Spirit come and bring that dose of your healing, the potent healing power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus.